Hi, everyone. I am so excited to introduce you to today's guest. Her name is Lauren, and Lauren is a former nurse turned postpartum doula and somatic coach who balances building a business with also chasing around a feisty toddler. Her mission is to revolutionize the way women prepare for birth and embrace motherhood. Lauren's unique approach blends the head and the heart, unifying the analytical and the creative, the mind and the body. Through her somatic healing techniques, she guides women back into their bodies to heal patterns and conditioning, tap into intuition and instinct, and mother from a place of true authenticity, embodiment, and confidence. Lauren is the host of the Well-Nourished Mothered podcast. Lauren invites you into a world of candid, unfiltered conversations with badass wise women. Together, they explore different ways to nourish your body, mind, and heart, from preconception to postpartum and beyond. All right, everyone, and that is an introduction to Lauren, who you're about to hear from now.
Welcome to My Aligned Purpose podcast. My name is Nicole Krohn. I am co-CEO of our company, along with my biz bestie, Kayla Pilecki. Together, we replaced our full-time salaries with our online business, and now we show women from around the globe how to do the same thing. I am a teacher of neuro-linguistic programming, online business, and a huge lover of all things manifestation, spirituality, and energetics. If you came to this podcast because you're looking to exit your 9-to-5 to start and grow and expand your online business, then you've arrived to the right place. In our first 3 years, we became a 7-figure company, and we've supported over 1,000 women through our signature programs, Aligned CEO Method and Aligned Business School. Here on TGIM, I support you with your mindset, money, motivation, energetic upgrades, and all things online business. My desire is that from listening to these episodes, you're motivated to start that side hustle, begin the podcast, write the book, and quit that soul-sucking office job you don't love anyway. I'm here to show you every step of the way. We've heard from so many that our podcast is binge-worthy material, and so we trust you'll feel the same way. Leave it to me to provide you with all of the vision expansion tools, confidence, and a dose of humor that you need to attract the people, places, experiences, and things in your life that you desire. Thank you for listening to our show, and now let's get into the good stuff. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of My Aligned Purpose podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Krohn, and I have a really special conversation happening today. We have Lauren here with us, and I always love to share a little bit of a backstory when I have a guest on the show about how I found them or how we know one another or how they found us. And I know that I've been following your Instagram for a while, Lauren, and I really like your content. And then a few weeks back, something that you shared really spoke to me. And I saw you share your journey, your story on your Instagram stories about how you got to be here now. And that's a question I love asking people because from somebody who taught high school and I worked with a lot of students in grade 12, and the number one anxiety producing stress that I would see from, especially the girls, they'd be saying to me, Miss McClellan, I'm so stressed out. I don't know what I want to do after this. And how am I supposed to make a decision for the rest of my life? And I was like, girl, I feel you, because at 18, I just wanted to pack a backpack and travel overseas. And I denied that intuition. And eventually I got there, circled back and found it. But I think the journeys that we go on are such a special piece of our story. So Lauren, welcome onto the show. I would love if you could tell everybody where you're calling in from and what are you grateful for today?
Again, thank you so much for having me on. I'm humbled that you reached out and wanted me to join you today. So thank you. I am on beautiful Vancouver Island, like you, just outside Victoria, BC. And today I am feeling grateful for new connections for sure.
Beautiful. I love how you have your books arranged in your background there. I love when people turn books on the backside so that you don't know what they are. I just think it has like such a beautiful aesthetic.
It really eased my mind because it was wild back there before I did that.
Yeah, it looks so good. Okay, so Lauren, you're here on Vancouver Island. Can you, as far back as you want to go, as much detail as you want to share, for those who are listening, the journeys we go on, I think, are such a big piece of the story. Can you paint the picture for us a little bit about how you got here, whatever you define as here?
Yeah, for sure. So I love that you mentioned that in your previous role as a high school teacher, you had students that were, oh my gosh, I don't know what I want to do after this. And I think that's where my story starts in high school as well. It was like a grade 10 careers class. We had to interview somebody in a profession that we were interested in. And I remember just randomly choosing a friend's mom because she was a nurse. And I was like, you know what? I like biology. I like people. I think that sounds good. And I interviewed her because it was easy. She was available. So I did that. And I think that is really what sparked my desire to get into nursing. But it was also mixed with this, I think we all have a definition of success that's built in or handed down, maybe from our parents, that seeps in from culture, society, and even like as small as the high school that you're in.
Totally.
And that definition, yeah, that definition of success for me, coming from a family of immigrants, was very much that you go to university for 4 years, you get a degree, you get a job that is secure, that gives you a retirement plan, that gives you benefits. Those were like, there was nothing about being happy. There was nothing about finding what you love. It was just, those were the definitions or the goalposts of success. So that's what led me into nursing to begin with. And from there, oh my gosh, it's been a winding road for sure. It wasn't until I was actually in the nursing program and actually had my first kind of clinical placement working with other humans that I realized, yes, like this is the part I love. I love interacting with people. And I was the nurse in university that always got in trouble because I was taking too much time sitting and holding hands with my patients. I wasn't running around enough. I wasn't giving enough meds. I wasn't checking off enough tasks off the list. Yeah, there was one situation in particular I remember being scolded because a call bell rang. This was on a hospital unit. A call bell rang. There was someone who had soiled themselves. And I, of course, went in immediately and cleaned them up. And I was scolded by a very crotchety nurse that I shouldn't have done that for some ridiculous reason or another, some manipulative tactic that she was trying to do with their family. It was wild. But that was like one of the first moments that I realized that, oh, this is
I'm
not
in the
really
wrong
for me.
Spot.
Yeah, this is not the environment. But I continued to give it a chance. And I thought, you know what? Nursing has a million different options. I don't ever need to work in a hospital. I can be a nurse out in the community. And that's exactly what I did. Out of university, I actually, this will be a funny addition later on when you hear more of my story, but I did my final practicum placement in vaccine preventable diseases. So I spent the last number of months of my university degree working in public health, giving vaccines to kids. I thought, oh, this is a cool option. I'm out in the community. Great. I get to use my skills. Very cool. Anyways, when I graduated, I immediately went into home care and palliative care, end of life care, hospice care, all of those kind of wrapped into one. And I fell in love. I loved it. My daily job consisted of getting a list of clients that I had to go see that day. And then I had the autonomy to set up my day how I wanted. And I loved that freedom. I loved that I got to be as efficient as I wanted to be. I didn't have someone leaning over me, watching my every move. And I realized that those were really big, I guess, values. Yeah, this value of like freedom and autonomy really came online. And I loved that I got to be in people's homes. I got to step into their world. It completely shifted the like power dynamic. When you're in a hospital, the nurses, the doctors, they've got the power. You're on their turf. But as soon as I'm welcomed into somebody's home, it changes the entire interaction.
And environment is everything too, right? Like you're not in the stuffy white lights and the fear and the smell and all of it. A hospital and in somebody's homes, I'm sure are vastly different in terms of sensory overload.
Oh, yes. And all of the time I had between clients where I got to drive to the next one, I got to listen to music in the car and kind of decompress between clients. I got to eat my lunch on the beach. So I really did find a role in nursing that suited me perfectly. And I thought, you know what? This is it. I'm going to do this for my whole career. I'm going to retire from this and be happy. Great. It's secure. It's a high-paying job. I've done it. I've succeeded. And that was in 2012 that I graduated and started working. Around 2015, so really not that much long, that not much later, I started getting really interested, even in my own personal life, more interested in wellness and in preventative medicine. My eyes were really opened to how reactive our healthcare system is and the allopathic model, and really started diving into my own kind of like health journey, for a better word, lack of a better word. And yeah, started realizing that, okay, there's something more that I want to be doing here. So I began a diploma program for holistic nutrition. And I thought, oh, this is it. I'm going to be a holistic nutritionist now. And I'm going to incorporate all the, you know, wonderful skills that I've learned and the knowledge, the medical and body physiological knowledge that I have from nursing. And this is what it's going to be. Mm-hmm. I was probably 22, 24 at the time. I was very young. I was very immature. I was living on my own. I was living in Vancouver. I had moved here from Ontario. So I had some life experience, but I was still very much in my wounded maiden era, still figuring it all out. And I began this program. I learned so much. And thinking back on it now, it was 2015. And I can't even place when things happened in the world, but 2015, I think, was still pretty early on, like online business. It was just starting. Yeah, it was just starting. But I remember learning all these amazing things about creating your online coaching program. And I enrolled in all these like freebies and masterclasses then about all of these amazing skills. And what ended up happening was that it all fizzled out. I again leaned back into the safety and the security of my high paying job, and life just took over. And I think back now, I wasn't ready. I did not have the confidence. I didn't have the discipline. I didn't have the, I just wasn't ready. So I went back to my job. I ended up meeting my husband. I got married. All of these other wonderful things happened. And then where did that lead me? There's always, no matter where I was at in my nursing role, in my career, there was always this pull that I wanted to do something on my own. I do consider myself to be a very creative person. And I learned to dabble in lots of different things. I make jewelry, and that was a really nice way to express that creativity. I now have a child, and that was like a huge literal creation that came from me. But there was always this pull to want to do something on my own, to be a healer and be help people in a different way. And I guess, let's see. So the pandemic that kind of threw a loop, threw everyone through a loop. And so I was pregnant during the start of the pandemic. I was probably, when did it all start? Like December 2020-ish. And I was probably six, 7 months pregnant at the time, went to work, did what I would normally do. Didn't feel fear, nothing like that. I was happy to be at work and happy to continue helping people through this uncertain time. And then I went off on mat leave, and the birth of my child in general was a huge catalyst for me. And I think that's true for so many women. It really catalyzed and brought me closer to my values and to what I stand for. And vaccine mandates came in while I was freshly postpartum. So my entire mat leave was spent anxiously worrying about whether I'd be allowed back to work. And in a lot of ways, it really, oh, there was so much friction and anxiety during that time. There was not only the intense transformation of slowly becoming a mother, that maiden to mother, that matrescence experience where your physiology, your identity, everything is shifting. I was also going through this little death of like slowly letting go of my identity of nurse and preparing myself slowly, because I think wearing that little nurse hat, it really, there is like an identity that comes with it. I actually have a tattooed nurse tattooed on my leg. Like, I was deep in that identity. I loved that I could call myself a nurse, because I think it comes with this understanding that, oh, you must be compassionate. You must be some level of understanding, some level of a caring, nurturing person.
I relate to this so much with the being of a teacher, right? It's like, the saying I wasn't going to be a traditional teacher in a classroom anymore, the fear and the self-talk that came with, people still think I'm a good person and that I help and that I care. And yeah, I can so relate to what you're saying.
Yeah. And that was like a months long experience of slowly trying to come to terms with that while it was still so uncertain if I was even going to be able to go back to work or not. So it was a very difficult time. And once it was confirmed that I was not going to be welcome back to work, that I was going to be fired while on mat leave, it was, yeah, I just remember going through such anxiety. I would be constantly like searching Indeed for job postings that I could do with my skills that I could transfer into as a nurse, whether in a private practice. Like I went through all the possible options of what could I do? How could I save this? Like I was clinging on.
And at this point, did you also have your holistic nutrition as well?
I did. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So I did complete that in 2015 or 2016. So I got that diploma and I like dabbled a little bit. And then, like I said, I leaned back into nursing and just settled back into that safety and security that it gave me. And yeah, that call was still there, but I was stuffing it down and just getting on with life in a way. Where was I?
So when you knew that you weren't going to go back to work and you were searching Indeed.
Yes.
I'm assuming that this is probably what you may have considered like a low point or a breaking point that then was another catalyst for you.
Yes, for sure. It was definitely a low point. I was like very much clinging. I was struggling. I was going through this, like I was trying to say, yes, that I was going through this identity shift of becoming a mother while also this identity loss of losing this title of nurse. I finally came to this place where I realized that nursing didn't give, like being a nurse didn't give me all of those qualities of being patient and understanding and compassionate. Those were mine to begin with. And nursing just gave me an outlet, a place to use them. And I finally realized and embodied that, no, those are mine. And I get to bring those wherever I go, no matter what label I have placed on me or whatever, if I take those little, that little RN off the end of my name. Right. So I finally stopped searching on Indeed. And at the same time, so many things happening all at once. At the same time, my own birth experience really started to pull me towards wanting to work with other women. And it's such a transformative time. It's so expansive. Like I said, it really brings into focus what your values really are, what you really enjoy. So I really took like a hard and honest look at myself and what are the skills that I have? What are the things that I don't like to do? What do I love to do? And I loved interacting with people. I realized that I was a very intuitive person and I always knew that in my nursing roles, but I didn't have language for it. I didn't know what to do with it. So I started an online doula program and mentorship, online business mentorship. And that's where I realized that working with mothers, working with women was what I wanted. But again, at the end of it, I thought this is a little bit surface level. All these doulas shouting to new moms, or to pregnant women, you need to use your voice. You need to state your desires. You need to set boundaries. And I was like, I'm more interested in the layer underneath that. Why is that so hard for some women? And then through this very divine synchronistic experience, I stumbled upon this somatic coaching program. And I was even offered like a 50% off scholarship because I was fired. So it all just aligned. Amazing. So perfectly. Yeah. Someone like heard my story and was like, oh yes, here you go. Let's make this happen. So it was one of those moments where it's like a full body yes. And you get that visceral experience of like, how can I not do this? So that's what led me to somatic coaching. And when I look back now, it's so interesting to see all of the breadcrumbs along the way that have led me to this. I get to use those intuitive skills. I get to use my compassionate care nature, my interpersonal skills. I get to use my medical and physiological, biological knowledge of the body of women, of birth. I get to, incorporate holistic nutrition, all of these things that felt like false starts along the way. And some people could look at them and call them failures. And to me, I just know that I wasn't ready. It wasn't the right time. Would I still be a nurse right now if I wasn't fired? Probably.
We don't know.
Maybe. we don't know. I was also a new mom and going back to work. I can't imagine if I actually had to be back at work these mm-hmm. last couple of years. So who knows? I know that pull would always be there. And yeah, I'm grateful that I didn't allow this idea of failure creep in along the way.
Okay. Yeah. So many great nuggets, and I have so many questions. Okay. Let's go back to the point in time where you were feeling like, okay, maybe nursing isn't it for me, and I'm going to look into the holistic nutrition program. Because the reason I asked to go back to this point in time, I know that we have a lot of women in our world who think about doing something different, even if the role that they're in, like you said, nursing was fulfilling, and you did go into that because it was something you wanted. And I think a lot of women get into careers or businesses that they do think will light them up and be it. And then there comes a time where this little voice or this pull says, maybe I'll try this. But what they hear and what I'm hearing from them is people not believing in them or saying, oh, you're just starting something new again. How did you navigate any of the, I don't know if it would be backlash or questioning, or did you have full support from the closest people in your life when you said, hey, I'm going to make this pivot?
Honestly, I was definitely one of those people that did have a lot of false starts, right? It's common for me to start things and not finish them for mm-hmm. whatever reason. I lose interest quickly, or I find something new that interests me more. And so part of me feels the people in my life were just like, oh, it's just another thing that she's going to learn about and do. And that's cool. Whatever. She can spend her money on whatever she wants. I don't think there was much confidence. And I don't think there was actually much confidence in myself either at that time. Like I said, I was still quite young mm-hmm. and I actually, the way I went about it too, I was working straight night shift in a hospice. So I would work 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. I'd come home, then I'd bus it out to the holistic nutrition school for 10 a.m., stay there till 2, go home, sleep for a few hours, and then go back to work at 11 p.m. So talk about the contradiction there of learning all these beautiful wellness practices and how to take care of yourself while I completely burnt myself out, like absolutely completely burnt myself out. But I knew that it was something I wanted to do. I knew that no matter what, the information would be important for my own life. And my dad was a big inspiration for why I wanted to get into holistic nutrition to begin with. He struggles with Crohn's disease. Mm-hmm. And I was just always so fascinated by the fact that this man has an inflammatory gastrointestinal disease, immune related, whatever. And yet he's never seen a dietitian or a holistic nutritionist. He's never been spoke to about diet, about lifestyle. It just, that blew my mind so much. And that's where I started to see those cracks in this medical system that I thought I loved and like fully agreed with. And right. So it was seeing those big cracks. I just thought, oh, there's got to be more. So for me, it was even like, if I can just help my family, if I can just, and I had all these big goals and dreams, and I'm the kind of person that has like 10 old journals sitting beside me. And when I look through them and flip through them, it's madness. It's writing in every direction of random ideas and inspiration. So I was full of passion and full of inspiration, but I really don't think that I had the embodiment. I didn't have the discipline, the discernment to really create a business at that time. But yeah.
Okay. And then when we go to the identity piece of losing your nurse license or identity at that point in time, so many stories of that happening, right? And it's just mind-boggling. And that can be a whole other episode. But especially with all the information that's coming out now, but again, another episode. When you were putting down the identity of nurse, and if you could go back to that point in time, what was the scariest part of that or the hardest part of that? And what was the most liberating part of it?
Such a good question. I think the scariest part was like, am I really going to do this? How are we going to survive on one income? Like it was a high paying, very secure job. What am I going to do with my pension? What if I, all these what ifs of, are we going to lose our house? And I'm so grateful. And I know that I'm privileged in that way that I have a husband who has such a successful, he's an extremely successful artist and businessman and can support us right now, for now. And I know that I'm privileged in that way, but I also know that he's worked really hard for that. And he's made really good decisions to get us here. And we've prioritized to be able to do this right now so that I could make that decision and step back and not have to really go back and retrain and try to find something different. So I'm grateful for that. But I think what was hard was just all those what ifs. It's so unknown. I had no idea what was going to happen. I had all these thoughts of, did I just waste all that time and money, 4 years of university, how many tens of thousands of dollars in debt that I had just finally paid off like a few years prior. There was a lot of that. There was a lot of doubting myself. There was a lot of worrying how people would perceive me. There was, yeah. And then I think the easiest part was that I was so in tune with my intuition because of my pregnancy and birth and becoming a mother in general. It really just turned on this mama bear instinct that I knew from the start that it was a hard no for me about this vaccine. And that, again, we're not going to get into all of that or why, it doesn't matter. What matters is that I knew from the start it was a hard no for me, for my reasons. And so having that to lean back on was really helpful in knowing and reminding me that, no, this is the right decision for you. Even if it's scary, even if it sucks, trusting your gut, trusting that little pull that's saying, no, this is right. You're okay. It's all going to be okay. You don't know how it's going to turn out, but it's all going to be okay.
It really is. It's the trusting in something, whether it's your own gut, your intuition, universe, God, source, creator, whatever it is, but there has to be a level of trust to know that the world will keep spinning. And maybe it looks like shifting priorities or how we spend our money or our time or whatever it might be. But when we come to this fork in the road where it's, okay, do I continue to do what I've known and perceived to be safe, secure, or do I go this other route that, like, I know there's a possibility, there is a sprinkle of a light coming through over here that says this could be something. Then it comes down to us to say, can I intuitively make a decision here and know that neither one is ever wrong? It's just like there might just be different lessons along the way.
Yeah, and just like different routes to take, different paths to go on. And I think, I don't know what your opinion on this is, but this idea that it's like, oh, you have to have 2 feet in the boat. You need to either fully leave your job and have 2 feet in and go headfirst into this. And I somewhat believe in that as well, but I also think it's okay if what feels safer to you is to make some big changes where you're maybe going from full-time to part-time and you're dedicating time to this other venture, to this new life. I think that's okay too. And some people might think the opposite, but if that feels safer for you and the smaller, easier step, a little sip to take of that new life, that new experience, then yeah, that's still a sacrifice and it might suck and it might be hard and it's going to change your income. But maybe it's easier than going full head first, 2 feet in the boat kind of thing.
Oh, for sure. And we talk to our clients about this all the time in that every decision you make, you want your nervous system to be on board, because otherwise, like, it might be okay in the moment, but if your nervous system isn't regulated, even when it comes to pricing something, lots of people ask us, how much do I charge for this? How do I price this? We have to start to go through a back and forth with, is your nervous system okay with this price point? Because if you're just gung-ho with, I'm going to charge this, and then you're internally freaking out that you're not worthy of that or it's too much or whatever, guess what? You're never going to sell. And I think I had a similar experience as you, where I was in my teaching role. 2016 is when I decided I'm going to take a pause. I'll experiment with a year off. I went overseas for a year on a working holiday visa to Australia, came back in 2017, and I knew I didn't want to go back into teaching. And I was willing, I said to myself, I will do anything to make money, but I don't want to be employed full-time as a teacher. So I worked at Lululemon and I taught yoga and I waitressed. I was like, I will literally do anything. And a year of that freaked me out. I had so many people saying, you left a secure teaching job? That's nuts. I can't believe you're working for like minimum wage at Lululemon folding pants and you had a secure teaching job. So then I was like, oh shit. I should go get a teaching job again. So the 2018-2019 school year, I found myself back in the classroom. And by Christmas break, I felt like I was going to have a mental breakdown. And I had to go to my admin and say, come the new year, I can only work 4 days a week. And she was like, that's not how teaching works. You can't take Fridays off. And I said, I have to. I will either have to leave this job completely or I need that day off. And I start, and it got approved. And so January 2019, when I went back into the classroom after Christmas break, I worked 4 days a week, and I used that Friday to be like, okay, if I owned my own business, what would I use this time for? And that's where I started to figure out online stuff and different things. And even once I got into coaching, I was an associate coach for another woman, and I was still teaching yoga, and I was still waitressing. I was doing those things. Then when I decided I don't want a plan B, I am going to put both feet all into this, I was like, okay, I have to really fucking go here, because if I'm going to say both feet are going in the boat, I'm going to have to make some serious moves. And I've never looked back. There's been times of fear where it's, do I get another job or do I substitute or whatever? There's been those fearful moments, but then I just remind myself, like, no, what I really want is, and it always has to align with my values.
Yes. Yes. I love that. And I still have those moments too, where those fears start to creep in and I find myself like on Indeed again, looking for a random job. And then I stop myself and I'm like, what am I doing? Like, why is this happening again? And I realize I'm just buying into this fear of being perceived as one way or another, or this fear and this doubt about myself. And it really comes down to redefining success, right? Success for me right now is the fact that I get to be home and raise my toddler. And that I get to spend my days doing whatever I want with her. If I was back at work, my life would look so different. And that kind of leads into the challenges that I am facing right now as trying to create a business. I'm a stay-at-home mom first and foremost, and building a business on stolen time, a few hours here and there, is really hard, especially we don't have much family out this way, don't have much support in terms of childcare. I'm learning as she's getting older now that we can get really creative, and that I need to prioritize myself, and I need to prioritize giving myself time, like nice chunks of time that I can sit down and build my business. And it needs to be a priority, but I also get to do it my own way. I get to do it at my own pace. Yes. I really stop myself from comparing myself to others, because my situation is not the same. Mm-hmm. I don't have childcare. I don't have 5 days a week. I'm not doing this full time right now. It's 1 to 2 days a week that I get to really work on my business. And at times it does feel very overwhelming. And I start to get very like, oh my gosh, how is this possible? Like, how am I going to build a business on 3 hours twice a week? It's just, and then I remember that, no, there are lots of tiny little steps that I can take each week, each day, that will get me closer to what I want. And also settling into this idea that there is a season for everything. Mm-hmm. And right now I'm very much still in this winter season of growing all the roots and really preparing for this spring and summer emergence that I know is right around the corner as my daughter gets older and gets ready to go into more of a school kind of daycare program. That's going to give me more time, but I also don't want to rush to that either. I've been given this beautiful opportunity to be home with her, and I don't want to rush past that because I'm so ambitious and want to do this other thing and want to follow my passion. Balancing all of that is definitely the hardest part for me as a mother and as an aspiring entrepreneur and coach.
And I think that is, it so needs to be heard by so many of our listeners. I would say, if I think about the women who are in our year-long program, 85% of them are moms. And the vision, the dream for all of them is the reason that they want to have their own online business is to make the decision and the schedule to spend the time with their children. It's, yes, we can talk about dollar amounts. We can talk about how many people we're impacting. And the why to all of that is so that you get to start your morning with your kid however you like, spend as much time with the children, decide if you want to pick them up and drop them off at school. That is the ultimate freedom for a lot of women. And for women like myself that don't have children, it's still the desire to create my own schedule, be in charge of my own time. I want to spend it with my dogs in the morning and my husband. And I think this is a really important conversation for people to have, is that these moments we don't get back. We don't get our mornings back. We don't get our time with our kids when they're young back. And so for anybody who's listening, whether it's three pockets, twice a week and 3 hours of time, if you're doing that so that you can do what you're doing, then that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's freedom, right? Everybody wants freedom. And I just thought of, yeah, time freedom, money freedom, like all of it, right? It's all about freedom. And mm-hmm. I just thought of this. I remember being 13 years old, having my first job. I lived in Niagara Falls, Ontario. I worked on Clifton Hill, which is this like funny little street of all kinds of ice cream shops and tourist attractions. And I worked in an ice cream shop. And okay. I remember just waking up each morning going, oh my God, is this it? Like, I have to get up and go to work on someone else's time, like on their schedule every single day. I called in sick so much. Like I just thought to myself, this can't be it. This can't be what working in the world is like. But it was even as far back as then that I longed for that freedom to like make my own schedule and do things on my own terms. So it's just funny that just came up for me.
Totally. And Kayla and I always joke about how we're just so unemployable. We would make the worst employees now. I'm like, don't tell me what to do or where to be or at what time. I want to make those decisions myself. Okay, Lauren, I would love if you could share two different things with us. What does a typical... How are you helping women or humans in this moment in time with your work? That's the first question. And then we'll go to the next one after that. But yeah, what does your work look like? What I think a lot of people have a basic idea of what somatic might be. Maybe they don't. Maybe that's my own perception. But yeah, could you explain a little bit about what it looks like when somebody is working with you?
Yeah. So I'm very much still in those like baby phases of growing my business. As a somatic coach / doula, my passion is really helping women navigate this experience of becoming a mother, whether that's through birth, through pregnancy, into postpartum and motherhood in general. And I use somatic coaching, so a coaching modality that is very much focused on getting out of your head and into your body. So befriending your nervous system, learning the language your body speaks. For a lot of people, we're walking around as these floating heads, so detached to our bodies, to the sensations that we feel. And they're so interconnected with our inner world, with how we store our experiences. We store trauma, we store all of our experiences in our tissues, in our body. It's like if you're feeling very sad, can you find the spot in your body where that sadness lives? So it's helping people reconnect with their body. And I use a modality that incorporates my intuition. Like I said before, this skill that I knew I always had, but didn't have a way of using it or showing it. So now that is the basis of my work. I use a very energetic, intuitive process. We incorporate breath and movement and sound. And it's all about getting to know yourself. I like to say that I'm a self-discovery muse. I inspire you to look inward and get to know yourself, all parts of you, all pieces, from this very self-compassionate and curious way. So we can get to know the patterns of behavior that are keeping you stuck, the limiting beliefs, and we get to really work within the body to start to change them. And I think that real transformation happens in the body. So that's the work that I'm doing right now. And I will be incorporating that into a birth preparation course in the future and helping, like I said, this inner work of birth prep. So not just the analytical stuff in your head, learning about birth and the phases of labor, that inner work of preparing for this intense transformation.
Oh, beautiful and so needed. Okay.
Thank you.
I'm on a not intense journey of it, but my husband and I are open to getting pregnant and it hasn't happened yet, but when it does happen, I'll be calling you.
Oh,
help prep me, please.
I'm very excited for you and your journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe so much in somatic, holistic, whole health. So yeah, I think the work that you're doing is so valuable and so needed. What does it look like right now for people to find you, to tune into your message and how you're supporting people right now? Tell us all the places and spaces, and we'll make sure that these all get linked into the show notes. So if people are listening, you don't have to frantically stop and try and write this down somewhere on a napkin. We'll make sure everything's linked in the show notes.
Yeah. So right now you can mainly find me on Instagram at Nest and Nourish. I also host a podcast called The Well-Nourished Mother. Mm-hmm. And we have really juicy conversations with badass wise women of all types and kinds, and just really interesting topics, all to do with this transformation of from maiden to mother. Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Nest and Nourish.
Okay. Beautiful. Podcast, Instagram, and then stay tuned for the birth prep course in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. And I do have one-to-one coaching available right now as well, if you're interested in, yeah, learning more about what that somatic coaching, what those sessions look like.
Okay. Perfect. Lauren, I want to thank you so much for coming on today and sharing your journey. I think it's always so helpful for people to hear that most of us, I would say all of us, are not on a linear path. And that sometimes the universe throws these little nuggets either in our way or to direct us in another way. And it's so cool how your journey has led you to be here. And it sounds like you have a really powerful little teacher at home supporting mm-hmm. you with all of the things. And I'm just really grateful that you were able to come on and share your message with us today.
Thank you so much for hearing my story and inviting me on.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we'll be back again next week.